And I was stunned to read a statistic that 39% of married couples in the United States are not sharing even the same religion, let alone both being Christians and sharing the same faith or being on the same page about that faith. And wow, that's a major issue. Hey, I'm Dr. Randy, and I want to welcome you to Intentional Living. And today we're going to really discuss how to get on the same page in your faith. It's such an important part of life. I think you're going to enjoy the program today that I've lifted from our Intentional Living archives. The content is so rich and full that you're going to benefit a great deal. We'll get to our callers in a moment. Maybe you know someone that can relate to the fact that they're not on the same page or maybe even the same book when it comes to their religious beliefs or their faith, in this case, faith in Christ. This would be a great time to send them a text to invite them to join. They can listen in online or listen on the radio if they have one of the network stations in their area and be a part of the show today and get some benefit. If you just joined us, Intentional Living is all about helping you experience life as God intended. And we know that one of the things that God intends is for people to be on the same page. In fact, he says it's not good for people to be unequally yoked together with another person who's an unbeliever. Why? Because, well, it's not because one person's better than the other, because we're all sinners saved by grace. But God knows in his wisdom that this essence of life, the very center or the core of who we are, our faith, when we're not on the same page, can be such a painful point in our relationship. So today we're going to give you some help and hope. Love to have you come and be a part of the show. Okay, let's get started. Let me go to Teresa first in Missouri. Teresa, welcome to the program today.
Hello, how are you doing?
Good, appreciate your call. What comment do you have on this? What have you learned?
Well, one thing that I learned, sometimes the disagreement comes because of how we think that our mate should be.
Yeah.
And for me, you know, I had so much going on with my husband in and out the house, and I had chose to read that book, and I start praying to God about what to do, and, you know, I was praying for him to change my husband and show me my husband, and what he did first was show me myself and the things that I was wrong with me. But, you know, he did show me some of his personalities and things. And I remember praying, and God says, I want you to, when your husband starts to fall or when these things start to happen, I want you to stand up beside him. And, you know, I can remember just crying because I was like, that's so unfair. I'm the female. Who's going to pick me up? And he said, I am.
Mm.
But he taught me how to go in prayer for my husband, and also to know that we was different people and we can agree to disagree. And some of the things that I wanted him to be more like me on, he was different. You know, I was more the hellraiser and he was more the peacemaker. And we needed that. You know, I needed to have that peace whenever I thought I was right.
And, you know, the scripture really addresses that, Teresa, right in the midst of these, what, five or six verses in 1 Corinthians 7, where Paul just really jumps in with the church at Corinth about this topic of, apparently, you had people coming to Christ, people changing their religion and becoming a follower of Christ, and they're married to a non-believer, and it was creating problems in the church and in families, and Paul needed to address this. His letters were often just very practical letters, and in this chapter, chapter 7, he starts to address this issue, and he hits the nail right on the head of what you said, because he says in verse 15, God has called us to peace. And one of the principles that we teach at the Intentional Living Center, you just heard it from Teresa, hey, listen, I'm to be a person of peace in this environment. I'm not the Holy Spirit of God. It's not my job to get them saved. No matter how we got here, I mean, there's a lot of paths to what you're facing today in your marriage, but we have all been called to peace. And then Paul says, how do you know, O wife, whether you're going to get your husband saved or not? And how do you know, husband, whether you will save your wife? In other words, since your job isn't to be the Holy Spirit, don't measure your happiness and your joy and your sense of accomplishment and being the person you need to be in the marriage based on getting them saved. Not your job. And the reason I'm so forceful on this with you is because I want you to see, kind of want to lovingly shake you a little bit if you feel that today, that sense of obligation. That's not your job. It's not my job. Boy, you could take a just take a big deep breath with me. Whew. It's not my job. Say that. It's not my job. It is not my job. I wasn't put on this planet to get my spouse saved. Now, I was put on this planet to love them, serve them, and be a representative of God, and to live a life that's exemplary in terms of how I live that will be attractive to them. But the outcome, God's the one who decides, not me. It's their decision with their Creator. And I think there's a lot of freedom when we get to that place. Okay, Teresa, thank you for taking time to call. Appreciate it. Let me get Loretta on the line in Michigan. Hi, Loretta.
Hi, how are you?
Good, good. Appreciate your call. What's your question?
Yes, I'm a believer, and my husband's not. And mm-hmm. it's been like that for quite a long time. And I get very impatient, and I wonder, am I in the right place? I mean, I have thought about leaving him, and I know I would never do that, but I would love to have the fellowship of both of us loving the Lord and praising the Lord and everything, and that's not happening, and I get really, really, really frustrated.
Mm-hmm.
But what you said, something about that the Lord sanctifies our marriage even with one believer, and that really, really stuck in my mind today when you said that.
Well, let me repeat it for those who didn't hear. The scripture, and I'd encourage anyone serious about this topic to go and read this for yourself. It's in the New Testament, 1 Corinthians chapter 7, and you can start with verse 10. It goes through 16, but the verse says here let me just back it up. It says, if a woman has a husband who is not a believer and he's willing to live with her, let her not divorce him. And it says the same thing to the man, for the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife, and the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the husband. Otherwise, your children would be unclean. And so what Paul is telling us, and you just are repeating it for those who didn't hear me say that earlier, is that one Christian in a family makes it a Christian family. Now, it's tough, and you're experiencing that. It's tough for you. But
right.
you've got a great opportunity and a difficult path, but just to be that representative of Christ in your family and loving your kids. So I'm glad that was encouraging to you.
Right. You know, I just lost my.
How long have you been married?
It'd be almost 40 years in 2 years.
Uh huh.
And we had a lot of ups and downs, but now it's been very good. And he's, you know, we're both getting up there in age, and he's starting to get forgetful and everything, and I really want to, you know, take care of him and everything. And I want this to be it is a happy marriage. I'm not saying that it's not. It is a happy marriage, but I miss the fellowship. I mean,
yeah, sure.
He's improved a lot. He's saying I can go to church, and if I want to be a part of the group, that's fine. But before, he would never let me do that.
Oh.
He would never let me open the Bible or anything. But now it's just, if he
very
wants
restrictive,
to go ahead and do it.
That's very painful.
He believes in something else that I don't believe in. Mm-hmm. So,
well, let me ask you this, Loretta. What are some? Give me the top three things that you respect about your husband.
I respect that he tries to make me happy, even
okay.
though you know we don't believe. He doesn't believe in God. He really respects my feelings about a lot of things. He really
All
looks
right.
up towards me about a lot of things.
All right. What's something else you respect about him?
I respect that he. He's there. He's always there. He doesn't, you know, he's not a drinker. He doesn't do anything, you know, bad.
Right.
He's just always there for me at home.
All right.
He understands,
uh-huh.
understands me, you know.
Was he a good provider? Did he work hard?
Well, he's retired. So
right,
he
but I mean, for these all these
oh,
years?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely. Yes. He was. He took care of our family and everything, and he's really a good person.
Well,
really
Loretta. There's not a person listening who's in your situation that doesn't understand the lack of fellowship, that you don't feel the closeness spiritually with your spouse, that that's a huge hurt. And it has to be filled in healthy ways with, you know, with when you have fellowship at church and women's groups and places where you can grow and fellowship. Frankly, that's one of the things we hope with the radio, that we can have an opportunity to kind of open the door and be a fellowship and encourage one another. We're all in this together, a giant congregation of people who want to grow in our walk and know that God loves us and cares for us. But can I encourage you to do this? because we teach here that expectation minus reality equals disappointment. And whenever we have an expectation of something that doesn't happen, we get disappointed. And then we start to focus on disappointment, and disappointment overtakes our life, and we're disappointed with a lot of things. And I try every day, because there's a lot of things in life I look back and say, I wish this and that and the other thing, to say, Lord, what are some things I can count my blessings on today? I would encourage you to go to your husband, Loretta, and say, honey, I love you. I want to tell you three things I really respect about you, that you've always been there for me. You've provided for this family. And especially recently, really opened up and seen that this is important in supporting me in my growth spiritually. I want to know I have extra love for you because of that. And I really appreciate that. One of the greatest gifts we can give to another person, even when we disagree on some things, is to really show that we love them and care for them on the things that are important. Because it's easy to focus on all the things we disagree on. We live in a culture today. We've got Democrats disagreeing with Republicans, and we've got people that have different views on. You name the topic. I could name the topic, and your blood pressure will come up, right? And they're important topics. I'm not suggesting they're not. But as followers of Christ, we need to operate out of a worldview of love, of God's intentional love for us. That's where it begins. And when we operate out of that worldview, it helps us then in how we confront issues. And when we do so, we have to confront issues, but do so in a way that honors Him. All right, thank you. Appreciate your call. You're welcome to join us, 888-888-1717. Press 2 for the comment line, or go to theintentionallife.com. How did kids change your life?
Oh man, good grief. It was like we just don't stop. You know what I mean? It's like, and she especially, I don't know how she keeps going at the pace that she keeps going. And basically I just fall in line and I just take people where she says to take them. I'm basically like the big daddy taxi, like at our house, you know? And so, you know, what, somebody's got to go to praise band practice. All right, I'm taking them over there. Up, somebody's got to sleep over at such and such's house. All right, I'm on it and I'm taking it over there. That is my only usefulness, really, is just being like a carrier of children places. You know, she keeps everything else in line. She's so organized. And that's who we need to talk to about intentionality, is Candace Weaver, because she is an intentional woman for sure.
That's Big Daddy Weave, Mike Weaver. You probably recognize his name. Big Daddy has been singing a long time and leading worship. And boy, he's been changing lives through his communication. I got to spend a day with Mike a couple months back getting prepared for our upcoming Alaska cruise. And you know what? This is a real guy. And he's going to be there with his wife on this cruise coming up in June, along with Evan and Kelly Carlson. Evan is the president and CEO of the ministry. And I get a chance to come and teach. And my wife and I will be there, and we're looking forward to having fellowship and community together and sharing time at sea and enjoying dinners together and times of worship and praise, but mostly for you and those you bring with you, your spouse or your family, just enjoying the beauties of Alaska. And I think by June, we're going to have a breath of fresh air. Now, we have limited cabins that they're holding for us on this luxury liner, and it's going to be a great week. We'd love to have you be a part of it and enjoy it so we can have a chance to minister. Now, here's the deal. All you have to do is go to theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com, and you'll see the information on our events. You can find information on the cruise, and you can get your cabin reserved. I know this isn't for everyone. It's a vacation of a lifetime, and maybe for an anniversary or for you and your spouse to have a break after everything we've been through in these last couple of years and come and breathe some new fresh air. We're going to enjoy it. And again, it's coming up. What's the dates? Randy, what are the dates? June 12 through 19 of June. And it's going to be an Alaska cruise. You're going to see some of the most beautiful sights over that week. So check it out, theintentionallife.com. Today, we're talking about same page faith and marriage. And let's get back to the calls. Leona's on the line to talk to us. Welcome to the program, Leona.
Hi, Randy.
Hi there. Appreciate your call from Michigan today. How are you?
I'm great. I so appreciate your program and the format of your program. And as you just mentioned, how you allow the family to come in and share.
Well, that's why we're here. That's why we do. I'm glad you got through.
Yes, me too.
What's your comment on this? What have you learned?
Well, I was a believer for 7 years before my husband died. That was some years ago, and I was determined that I was going to live by 1 Peter 3:1, which talks about wives, be in subjection to your husbands, so that without the word, they may see and be won by your chaste behavior and your conversation, coupled with fear. And that, without the word, really struck me, because obviously there can be all kinds of contention when one is a believer and one is not. So I decided I would do that by God's grace, keeping in prayer. I decided to make a list of 10 things that I loved about my husband, and I would read that a couple times a day if necessary. I also immersed myself in 1 Corinthians 13. So that those three things made such a difference in our situation. And before he died, which was considered an accidental death, even though he struggled with drugs and alcohol, so it was so grievous that what happened at that particular time. You know, when that, when he did die, I just felt I the fact that he had come to the Lord meant so much to me, because that's really the bottom line. That's really what it's all about. Unfortunately, it's been rough, because in the sense that I didn't have, I saw the fruit of that, but I did not see over the years how that would have lived out. And, you know, for some reason, I've never called into a radio talk show, but today, how important it is to perhaps consider that scripture for women if they, if their husband is the unbeliever, without the word, because it made a world of difference. And by the same, I would say this is actually sort of an antithesis of this, perhaps, for the lack of a better word. But I have a close friend who's a believer. Her husband was not a believer. She divorced him, contrary to the word, as you brought up earlier, because of that. Of course, there's grace. Now they are in their 70s and have both had many problems physically. So they are actually living together out of convenience. And I share one night a week with them, usually Sunday night, as movie night. I prepare some food. I come over. And it grieves me that I have watched this couple in which she has not yet understood or given place to the word in her hopes of seeing him come to the Lord, which is why she divorced him to begin with.
Yeah, and I think when, as you know, Leon, as we start to move away from what Scripture teaches and we start moving toward what we think is right, our own emotions, boy, we get in trouble. And I just want to reinforce a couple things Leona said. One is, if you've ever read that passage, it's in 1 Peter, it's in the New Testament, closer to the end of the New Testament, 1 Peter 3, where it really says to women, you don't know about your husband's salvation. It's by the winning them over, not by your word, but by your conduct. I think that's true just for both ways, men to women, and you know, it's not just cutting one direction. She also referenced living by 1 Corinthians 13, which some say, I've heard about that. Well, that's the love chapter. It talks about the practicality of living your life intentionally in love for your for people, but certainly for your spouse. And I think the other thing, as you mentioned, Leona, your husband came to Christ at the end. You didn't get a chance to see all the blessings of that, but you know, someday, you know where he is, and that's the most important message that we can share. That's what our spiritual concern should be for those who don't know Christ, our family, our children, our spouse, and others, that they would come to know Christ. All right, thank you for your call, Leon, and God bless you from Michigan.
This is Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible by the generous support of our listeners. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio.
think of that passage in Romans where it says, if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, we'll be saved. Do we have to confess out loud because God only hears with his hearing? God knows our heart, but there's something powerful about confession. And when Adam and Eve fell, instead of them turning to God and confessing their sin, the first thing they did was cover themselves and hide. And you know what? All these many generations later, we're doing the same thing in our lives, aren't we?
Boy, is that true. You know, when I was putting the lesson together this month for you all as part of the Intentional Living community, my monthly lesson, our audio teaching, our class on intentional living, I wanted to think about Humpty Dumpty and that story of he fell off the wall and broke into a million pieces. It's kind of like Adam and Eve. They fell and broke into a million pieces. And boy, we've tried everything, all the king's horses and all the king's men. We've tried religiosity. We've tried drugs and alcohol. And we've tried fame and entertainment. You name it. We've tried everything. And we're still lost. We're still broken. And it's only because of Christ that we can be healed. And even then, we still carry those cracks in our life. And the teaching this month is on the topic of some of those cracks that still show up in our lives. I call them the shame, blame, and pain of life. And we see it in Genesis chapter 3. And I'm excited about this teaching because it's based on release from, an intentional release from those things in your life to experience less shame and to deal with blame and really deal with the pain that we have in our life. So this lesson is for you. Members, watch for it. It'll be coming to you through email. We send a brand new email every month with the audio and video teaching from our Intentional Living Center, a class that we just encourage you with. And those of you joining us today, come and join us. We need your help. We've fallen behind, frankly, where we need to be, and your monthly support, being a part of the community, is making a difference. Just go to theintentionallife.com, theintentionallife.com, and we're going to add a very special, brand new resource, a flip book of intentional moments that I think you're going to enjoy. Go to theintentionallife.com. All right, Barbara's here. Let's get her on the program. Barbara, welcome to the show today.
Thank you very much.
What's your comment or question?
Well, I was commenting on being unequally yoked for 50 years now. And I guess I thought that my husband taking classes and so on before we got married would make the difference. And I also thought I could do it all on my own. And, you know, just didn't realize, I guess when you're that young, you just don't realize how important it is to be able to share all of the things that affect you in your spiritual life.
Mm-hmm.
And so he still is saying he's either agnostic or atheist. He grew up in a church, so I guess I just assumed that he would, you know, be growing up in the church and continue that.
Yeah.
And so I would just, I guess I would like to say it is so much better to not be unequally yoked. It's so much better to be on the same page. And if anybody has that red flag beforehand, I would certainly, you really love that person, to certainly work together to come to a point of agreement or wait.
It's a great advice. It's biblical counsel as well. And by the way, let me just say it, this topic, God's not a meanie. God's not sitting in heaven and saying, you're a Christian, and they're not, and I love you, and I don't like them so much, and I don't like my children being around people I don't like. That is not God's view. God loves you. He loves your spouse who's not a believer. He loves the world. At the cross, we are all the same. But God in his infinite wisdom also knows, as his children, for us to live out our lives of faith, to grow in our relationship with Christ, to be able to live intentionally in Christ, and then to have a partner in marriage who doesn't agree, doesn't get either of you to where you're headed. Because I believe this, the unbeliever in a marriage is also equally upset in their own way. They're saying, this Christian person that I'm married to, I love them, we have children, but they're driving me nuts. And so God knows in his wisdom, this is a value question. We're talking about worldview. Where in the world do we make our decisions about money, about kids, about work, about all the things that are valuable in life, it comes back to this issue of what do I believe? Now, there's lots of ways you may have gotten to where you are today. Maybe you started on the same page and then you realize later one of us wasn't, or maybe you've moved. You've been the one that moved into a faith life and a new worldview and your spouse didn't. It doesn't matter. You're there. The principle, I think, that we learn in, again, in the passage that we read in 1 Corinthians 7, is that your job is to create an environment of peace. You can see that in verse 15. God has called us to live in peace. And so my encouragement to you is live your life intentionally in Christ. Live with an attitude of peace, praying for your spouse, but not making them the center of your life. Allowing God as he grows you spiritually and not making the pain that you experience or the lack of fellowship become so overpowering that you can't focus on the blessings that you do have. And I try to do that in my life. My wife and I are totally on the same page and have been since the day we got married. But you know, there's always areas where you don't agree. And it's easy to start focusing on the things that you don't get or want or expect than to focus on the things that God is blessing you and your marriage with today.
My husband, Rudy, has accepted Christ in his life as of last Sunday. And he went up in front of the congregation and said, "Yes, I need Jesus." And it just was the most wonderful, magical moment of my life. We're from Mesa, Arizona, and we've been married 6 years, and that was the only thing that our marriage lacked, and now it lacks nothing.
Amen, and I can tell the peace and satisfaction and excitement in your life, and now pray for him, because now he's not going to be perfect. You know, one of the things I've found with people, sometimes we pray for our spouse to come to Christ, and then they do come to Christ, and then sometimes our expectations become unrealistic. There's still people wrestling with issues, and so a lot of encouragement. And that's really what we've been talking about today, getting on the same page, not making our faith a battleground, but a battle for the intimacy of our marriage, and so we can grow and continue to be on the same page. And even if you can't be on the same page, to at least to agree to disagree and love each other in the process. And as a Christian, boy, we have an obligation to do that. Got to run. Thank you for being a part of Intentional Living today. Love your feedback, whatever it is. Share it on our comment line at 888-888-1717. I want to thank Stephen Davis, our producer, and the rest of the Intentional Living team for all the hard work. And you know what? When we come back next time, we're going to talk about the power of one thing. I've written a whole book on this, and it's I think you're going to take away something pretty interesting. So we'll see you next time right here from Intentional Living.